This Christmas, my husband put a smile on my face. He caught the store-wide sale on now at The Paint Place.
With brands like Richards and Benjamin Moore, The Paint Place had the perfect color and he was out the door.
Now their front room is fabulous. What a surprise! Cranberry red, I couldn't believe my eyes.
Ho, ho, ho.
Make the holidays magical. Get 20% off store-wide during the Christmas sale at The Paint Place.
When you've got to paint it right the first time.
Net items excluded.
Celebrate the magic of Christmas with Sugar D's and their freshly baked holiday treats. From indulgent desserts to warm, comforting pastries, they have everything to make your season sweeter. Like their standard cakes in red velvet, chocolate, vanilla, carrot, and Oreo. And of course, their specialty cakes like German chocolate, pina colada, and so much more. Pre-order now and share the joy of the season by calling 552-8624.
This holiday season, use your CIBC Caribbean Visa credit or Visa debit card to book travel, shop online, buy gas, groceries, and everything else. Win up to $2,500 US.
Yes!
Win with joy with CIBC Caribbean. Lucky CIBC Caribbean cardholders like you will have the chance to win up to $2,500 US this holiday season just for using your card. Terms and conditions apply. Visit www.cibcfcib.com/cards the joy of giving for more details.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Special edition of
Piano. Yeah. And he everywhere he went in New York, he took me with him to New York to make records with Alice Sims. You ever heard of her?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
He did butter records.
Well, that looks good. Alice now may Sims we have our next guest, please.
And as you sit down there, sir, would you tell us your name and where you're from?
My name is Peanuts Taylor. I'm from Nassau, Bahamas.
Well, panel, as you saw by the fact that an instrument was carried in there, Mr. Taylor is a musician. To be a little more specific, he is a virtuoso on the conga drum. And in fact, he's going to perform for us a little bit later. But before we get to that, this gentleman has a secret in connection with this particular drum that I think is quite amazing. So if you'll whisper it to me, Mr. Taylor, we'll show it to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a trick indeed. The panel, the clue to Mr. Taylor's secret concerns something he can do, and we'll start the game this time with Henry Morgan.
Is it, Mr. Taylor, another way you have of being able to play the drum?
Oh,
no.
And yes and no. Mostly no, I'd say.
A little more no than yes.
Yeah.
You said the secret had to do with the drum.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with his playing of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then does it have to do with the speed at which you can play it?
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Wednesday, the 18th of December, 2024, and you are on the clock with Aaron Green. As we start the show, first we started hearing the voice of John Berkeley Peanuts Taylor. Today, as we commemorate his passing, celebrate his life, we're going to take a moment out of today's show to focus on the one and only Peanuts Taylor, aka Peanut the Wonder Boy. The clip was Peanuts Taylor in conversation with Bohemian Trey and Bianca Nygaard on a segment of a JCN show called Platform, August 16th, 2019. You can find that online to follow that conversation. The second clip played there is a clip from the show I've Got a Secret, January 4th, 1965, where Peanuts Taylor was the featured guest on the show. The guest has a secret. The panelists have to figure out what that secret is. Taylor, Peanuts Taylor's secret was that he plays the melody. He can play melodies on the Congo drums. We get an opportunity a little later in the show. We are going to play another portion of that. Here are two other sound for those who are interested in following the legacy of Mr. Peanuts Taylor, all on YouTube. The third clip is Bahamian drumming legends John Chippy Chipman and Peanuts Taylor perform together in tribute to King Eric Gibson at his appreciation concert 2013. The fourth clip is Our Bahamian Icons Culture 101, Peanuts Taylor and John Chippy Chipman. Here is a brief bio about Mr. Peanuts Taylor. Also, I'm hoping that Professor Walks, who has written a 3-volume music history, Bahamian music history series, I'm hoping that she can join us for a few moments this morning via Zoom. Producer, I forgot to ask you to open up the Zoom room, please. I'm hoping she can pop in for a moment and talk with us about what she has learned. Berkeley Peanuts Taylor. Let's start here. Peanuts Taylor was born on June 20th, 1935, in New Providence, and is known worldwide for his hypnotic, powerful drumming talent. He was born in Nassau, Bahamas, at the Bahamas General Hospital. He spent his early childhood curiously checking out the areas of Nassau where music lived. Thanks to Paul Mears, Peanuts' singing and dancing was given center stage at the tender age of 4 after giving a command performance for the Duke and Duchess of Windsor. Taylor got his career started through Mears. He recalls, quote, "I started entertaining when I was 4 years old with Paul Mears, and Paul Mears opened his club in 1939, and it was called the Paul Mears Club, and I started there." It's a quote from Peanuts in 2015. Somewhere around the early 1950s, Peanuts was asked by George Simonet, another fabulous Bahamian musician, to fill in for a drummer who was sick. What ensued from the hitch in the night's show can never be calculated in human terms. Taylor's career really took off in 1952 when he was asked by the Ministry of Tourism to travel the world and promote the Bahamas as a tourist destination. That is just a brief snippet of the bios that I found on Peanuts Taylor. I'm going to attempt to organize a tribute show, get some young musicians in, some older musicians, some historians, Link Scavella from the United Artists Bahamas Union and formerly from Bahamas Entertainers and Musicians Union, to talk about the man and the legend, Peanuts Taylor. I have a text here. Can drummists today play melodies on the Congo drum, or does he still stand out in that ability among modern drummists? That's very interesting, right? Have other drummers learned from him? Is it an innate, right? Have we found it to be something innate in the Bahamian music and cultural landscape? Have junkanoos picked it up? Has any particular junkanoo set out to bring us a performance, a harmony, or the harmonies on the drum? Last week, we had a caller who indicated that one of the things he's displeased with in Junkanoo is the amount of space that the horns occupy. I think the brass in particular, like, occupy. Well, what if we could play the melody on the drums? What would Junkanoo sound like then? Texter, thank you very, very much for this text. Another, you know, consideration. The creative arts school that the government is in the process of constructing, will it have a special unit for drumming? Will it have a unit aimed at preserving our distinct drumming style? Our drumming style, we do the gumbe drum. That's our thing. Are we preserving it? Are we teaching young people how to play the melody and melodies on the drum, on the Congo drum, on other types of drums? Are we teaching young people how to make drums? Are we encouraging young people to get into goat herding and goat farming for the purpose of ensuring that we always have goat skin available to make goat skin drums? Do we see the potential of an economic mechanism of selling 100% Bahamian goat skin drums? Like, we have enough scrap metal in the country to make nails and tacks and screws just for the drums. Do we see the potential of also using the goat skin in other applications, like making straw and goat skin bags, making calabash and goat skin bags, making goat skin clothes, clothing, accessories for tourists, you know, the people who like to spend plenty of money? Thank you very much for that text there. Here's a bit more about Peanuts Taylor before we move into the news, because to talk about today, Flamingo Air say, hey, prices are rising on our Bimini to Freeport route because of airport fee increases. If you were thinking about using an alternate option, turns out Bahamas Air workers on sick out. Is it a strike? Is it a sick out? What's happening? Somebody in passing say, man, the domestic side of the airport of LPIA is like a ghost town. It's empty. How is this impacting travel during the holiday season? How is it impacting the movement of goods and services in between the islands at holiday season? How is it impacting tourism, not for the Ministry of Tourism's sake, but for the small and medium-sized vendors, hoteliers, taxi drivers? How will this impact them as we lead up to the holiday season? I mean, we end the holiday season as we lead up to Christmas. Then we have the story in today's Tribune, mom beaten in the street. Woman's legs broken in broad daylight attack as people watched. Then I saw a clip that made me ask the question, are y'all making a movie or is this real life? That's that scene, the assailant with a large weapon. I thought it was a shotgun. Reports say it may have been a high-powered weapon. There's a plainclothes officer, there's a uniform officer, there was sirens. We couldn't hear any sirens, there was no sound, but we imagined there was sirens. There's a jitney reversing scene. We're going to talk about all of that. Let's get back to Peanuts Taylor's bio just for a second. Here's a quote. "You're nothing but a peanut," said Mears, and the little boy went into his act on the spot. Mears hired him, and he shared a stage with 300 pounds of joy, Princess Augusta Lewis. They were billed as Big Beena and Peanut the Wonder Boy. By age 18, he was touring Asia and Europe with a 25-member Entourage. Taylor had a series of nightclubs over 30 years. He has performed around the world, including Havana's Tropicana in the buoyant 1950s, as a musical ambassador for the Bahamas. In 1993, his efforts earned him an MBE, that's membership in the most excellent order of the British Empire. Taylor took a group of 22 musicians to Cuba in 2000 to demonstrate Bahamian jungle new music and culture. The next year, he performed in Percussion 2001 in Cuba with musicians from Europe and Africa. He was the first non-Cuban to receive Cuba's cultural and was made a professor of percussion at Havana's Superior Institute of Art. Water taxi driver Basil Rolle, whose uncle Ernest Stubbs formed the original Rake and Scrape band Lassie Doe and the Boys, joined the group as a teenage singer and drummer in 1980. Quote, "We used to use the traditional goatskin drums," he says, "but we use traps now because it often took half an hour to beat up the goatskins to get them tight enough to play. We used sterno and sometimes had a little sterno can built right into the drum. We used to burn our hands heating up the drums. And then my uncle brought new drums from Indiana." Is this part right here? Taylor was the first non-Cuban to receive Cuba's Cultural Medal of Honor and was made a professor of percussion at Havana's Superior Institute of Art. That's it right there. When I went to St. Vincent in the mid-2000s on a work trip advocacy related, we stopped. The session they were in at the day camp was drumming, music and drumming. The moderator, facilitator of that session stopped and asked all of the guests which country they were from. Then he identified our drum style and he played it for us. When he got to the Bahamas, he stopped the whole session to ask how is peanuts and how is Chippy. And he spent a significant portion of the time we had there talking about the time he had in life playing with Peanuts and playing with Chippy and how he so desperately wants to come to the Bahamas to play with them one more time. At least one more time. Play with them again. Do we have a unit for Bahamian indigenous drumming techniques? Do we have a unit at UB? Have we done anything? Like, do we see what the rest of the world saw? And if we did, why we decide not to do anything about it? Anyway, I got another text here, and I got a guest joining me in studio. Text says, "Morning, Aaron. As long as Nassau is crowded, the crime wave will always be high. I blame all governments for this. Why don't they develop all the islands, and that's where people will migrate to, other islands and even immigrants?" Great text. Thank you very much, and it's a great moment. We could transition. Let me say good morning to Mr. C.A. Muri. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I am not okay. You okay?
Yeah. I had to do some children matter and deal with the child. So I'm good. I'm here.
Blessings. It's a blessing to have children to have to deal with.
Yes.
Absolutely. I am not so much okay. I'm still disturbed by a number of things I saw yesterday and things I didn't see. What was more disturbing were the things I didn't see yesterday. Let's focus in on this story here in today's Tribune. Mom beaten in the streets, woman's legs broken in broad daylight attack as people watched on. I'm going to stick a pin right there and say, so we are going to formally throw away the rape whistle idea?
No, that's still something to contemplate, still a consideration.
Still,
our Prime Minister, Philip Davis, brought the idea to us that women need whistles to blow when they're being attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps, unfortunately, if this lady had a whistle, it might have helped her.
I mean, this is the part I'm getting to. People clearly saw what was happening and sat in their cars and did nothing. Mm-hmm. Right? I imagine maybe one or two people called 911.
Imagine.
Right? From the footage captured by one camera. I didn't hear anybody saying, stop, stop. Did you hear anybody saying, stop?
I did not hear anyone saying, stop, stop.
Nobody, all, anybody plead the blood of Jesus?
And that's all I think Bahamians wanted to know. The effort. The effort of intervening. Not necessarily going there and risking yourself, you know. But to say, plead the blood. Stop in the name of Jesus.
So let's say thank
Don't
you.
Do that.
Let's say thank you to the young man, the boy, who popped up on the scene from out of frame.
Yes.
It took one punch. It took one punch and the boy ran away.
Yeah. And necessarily connected properly. But it only took effort.
Yeah.
If someone had effort.
Here's what I have found. Here's what I've found. Bahamians respond to effort. See, I'm a little differenter than a lot of people. I have a problem. I'm a hasty and sometimes I forget myself, right? So every once in a while I'd be in traffic and as a car broke down in the road, impeding traffic, becoming a greater risk, right? Or creating a greater potential for an accident or somebody to get hit by a car. I'd put my car on the side of the road safely and then go help them push it out the road, you know? And here's what happens, I would say, 7 times out of 10, Yuri. Here's what happens. As soon as a boy see a woman get in the road to go do something like that, somebody, some man will stop and say, hey, either I come in to help you or I can take over from here. That's what I found in my experience, right? If you see me with this shoulder brace on, that's because I done pushed too much car out the road when I shouldn't be pushing car out the road. We saw, let me take a moment. Morning, CA, remember Fred Mitchell wants a law against whistleblowers.
That was funny, actually.
I just...
No.
Let's acknowledge
that.
That
was witty. That was very witty. I appreciate it. Thanks for the chuckle.
Absolutely. Good morning, Aaron. Unfortunately, it seems it has become the norm in the 242 that people have become desensitized. That's without a doubt. Without a doubt. And that's a great place, right, to start a conversation about why people responded the way that they did or didn't respond the way that they did. Desensitize is a great word because here's what it is. Desensitization is not something like you do to yourself, you know. It's something that happens to you. It's something that involves external factors as well as internal factors. Right? We allow it to happen to other people. And perhaps we don't know how to prevent it from happening within us. But trust me, people don't wake up, well, mind you, remember Macbeth, Lady Macbeth, when Lady Macbeth say, unsex me and take, you right, like take these feelings away from me so I could do this dastardly thing. I remember Lady Macbeth said it, right? And sometimes people, due to the circumstances that they are in, get up in the morning and say, Lord, please prepare me for this day. Help me to move through it and achieve my goals. And sometimes we think that that requires us to put on blinders to things that may become obstacles, may become barriers, or I think more accurately may become distractions. Like, don't get distracted. Remember, you also have 5 children to feed. I see you want to help that person. Right? But I also was deeply disturbed by some of the commentary from individuals saying, I would not be foolish enough to help someone in that situation. There was even, I saw at least one comment that say, not my good husband. I wouldn't let my good husband do that, step in. But as a,
My concern is not necessarily stepping in. And one, I don't think it wants you to physically risk your life. We understand. We know the climate. But we do expect Bahamian men to protect women, and whatever degree, and we expect Bahamian women to protect each other, and whatever degree, someone should have said stop. Someone should have accosted it and say, hey, what's happening? Someone should have pleaded, do not do that, right? Whatever varying degree of interrupting what was happening, it was no type of interruption.
Mm-hmm.
It was watching.
I went, absolutely. Let's go to the phone line, and then I want to tell you two quick stories about the dangers, I guess, of being a hasty. Good morning, caller.
Aaron, good morning, CA.
Morning, sir.
I hope you're doing well.
Yes, sir.
You know, I spoke on this already this morning, but I forgot to really commend the young man.
Mm-hmm.
And who was prepared to take a risk.
Mm-hmm.
To help. You know, he cared more than those who were just sharing. And I think it's so important, and I'm hoping that somebody from the commissioner office, even the citizen of the country, perhaps we can get this young man and give him an award, a citizen's heroism award for his act of bravery in defending that young woman. Give him a reward and an award.
Yeah.
For his act of heroism.
Let's ask corporate Bahamas to step up.
Not corporate Bahamas. Bahamas in the whole, because most of the time, corporate Bahamas is really not involved. It's not the everyday citizens who need to put some skin in the game too, you know.
Absolutely.
Not just corporate Bahamas.
Absolutely, but here's what I was thinking. See, Bahamians like to drink, and it ain't nothing you can say could stop them from drinking, right? So what if, like, a liquor store company said, hey, we doing the bystander award. We raising money for a bystander award. And every six-pack, every three-pack of beer you buy, we will put a dollar in the fund, right? Something like that, which it doesn't disrupt what you doing. People like beer plenty. And so if liking beer could also help somebody, then we ain't fussing nobody, except to say don't drink and drive. Other than that, we could be all right. Thank you very much, Texan. Again, commendations, thank yous to that young man, that man who stepped in, threw one punch, and that boy pick up and roll out. That boy pick up and run away. It shouldn't happen, Yuri.
And I'm not sure what exactly happened, right? Because we're still trying to get clarity on that. Mm-hmm. But the bus, I can assume. I do not know for sure. The narrative is the lady came off the bus and she was viciously attacked by a random person for no reason. She doesn't know the person. That's the story. But if that bus there
mm-hmm.
is the bus she came off or out of,
mm-hmm.
and there's nobody into the bus to intervene to say, no, man, what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
I'm even more concerned about that. A bus filled with people, seeing a person who's on the bus with you and kept coming off the bus, and nobody came off the bus to say, hey, what's happening?
Yeah, see, this is why, like, I'm reflexively going to bring it back to traffic, right? We don't even have conversation about what is expected of us in the public domain called the roadways, right? Like, what is the expectation of behavior in a jitney? Because we've heard countless stories of bus drivers playing pornographic content and X-rated and adult explicit content on public buses while they're in operation. We've heard countless stories of young schoolgirls being groomed on buses, being molested on buses, right? We heard the tragic story of the young lady who was essentially kidnapped by a bus driver. All right, here we go. I'm going to read these texts, and then we're going to go to the break. Aaron, the man who beat the woman was said to be drunk, and you want to give the hero air? I don't think that sends a good message. I can tell you what also doesn't send a good message. Throwing stones from behind the phone. But seriously, where are the rape whistles, the PM promise? For what? Whistles are for when people can't see you, so at least they could hear you. The people clearly saw what was happening. We're going to go to a break. When we get back from break, I'm going to get through. Then we're going to talk about what else I saw on the road. Today's show was supposed to be traffic and holiday safety tips, Mr. Newry. We may end up talking about that same way. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
I look funny, all black up yesterday.
But she says she bumped into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
So what you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 77. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix-up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you saying.
So what we waiting on? Then let's go earn some grocery money.
You try to rest, but go with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
End of the day, Lampkin, the customers love the red suit. You think you can heist them pounds something a little more? We need to see more socks. But before you go, look at, I got some specials going on for the sale. I got two set of 12 by 12 and four set of 18 by 18 tile. Now, the 12 by 12 Al Blanco is just that, Al Blanco. That and the peach and gray Alcala going for $215 a square foot. Now, I got three 18 by 18 flagstone style and a high gloss gray and beige tile for $203 a square foot. What you doing, Lampkin?
Looking for my pin. Sale ends December 21st.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
One in every four Bahamians face some level of food insecurity. AML Foods remains committed to helping. And this year, through our Feed 5000 program, we'll donate $30,000 to provide holiday meals to families in need. But we, to December 18th, show your support and donate at the register at Solomon's, Costrite, Fresh Market, Exuma Markets, or Domino's Pizza in Nassau, Grand Bahama, or Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. There's so much we have to talk about. That was the second portion of the I've Got a Secret clip where you can hear Peanuts Taylor playing, the melody on the Congo drums. Let's get back to the text line. Here's another text. Have the police located the man? Someone must know him. The suggestion by Brave Davis actually came from a Nassau Guardian story. One of the African countries was experiencing a rape epidemic. I forgot which. One of the community responses was to arm women with whistles. They found that making noise attracted attention and scared attackers away. In this incident, this man had no fear of people seeing him. Might attention scare rapists here? Don't know. I do know that both Adriel and Mrs. Butler were strangled to silence them. Let me tell you all a quick story. A week and a half ago, I was heading home. There was a big funeral at the cathedral in town. So I had to circle west, right, from Cumberland Street. I had to circle west to go back south of town to cut through across C.R. Walker School to get to Market Street. And I'd already submitted to the fact that I was going to be in traffic twice as long as I expected. And so I got to the intersection with Market Street, north of the school, right? North of C.R. Walker. And I stopped at the stop sign. Well, let me tell you, why did I stop at the stop sign? I stopped at the stop sign because the law says you're supposed to stop at the stop sign. But further to that, I stopped at the stop sign because there is a bougainvillea bush that blocks the view of drivers exiting or entering Market Street from that intersection. I also stopped at the stop sign. It's a school. And one thing I know about government school children, they is be anywhere, anytime outside the school. So those three things compelled me to stop at the stop sign. I knew that there was a taxi behind me, and I knew the taxi was inching up close on me. So when I stopped at the stop sign, I stopped for 2 seconds instead of 3 seconds. 3 seconds. You're supposed to stop so you can make sure that you've properly assessed the roadway in front of you. Anyway, I pulled out, and as soon as I pulled out, the vehicle behind me blared its horn. I mean, blasted it. Now, I wasn't certain immediately that it was that driver because it may have been somebody I missed because of the bush that is blocking the view of drivers at that intersection. So I paused for a second to make sure that I wasn't ignoring someone else's right of way and about to cause an accident. Well, the vehicle that was behind me decided that I obviously stopped at the stop sign to cause an accident. Their response was to side of me and then pull into the front of me and slam on brakes, attempting to cause me to run up into the back of them. Now, I already had my route planned, and so I decided I would continue on my route. It turns out that the taxi driver that cut me off attempting to cause an accident was also going in the same direction. Mr. Newry, I have a megaphone. You see, the Prime Minister has given out whistles. I got a megaphone. I say, yeah, this Junkanoo season, they may not be able to tell the difference between a whistle and a cry for help because somebody trying to kill me. So I got a megaphone. And I used my megaphone. And as we were driving, the person in front of me decided that they were going to stop their car to block me in, to get out their car, to come towards my car in a threatening manner. So you know what I did? I got out my car with the megaphone. I didn't want to be a sitting duck for him to come to my car with a weapon and I'm trapped in the driver's seat. So I got out my car with the megaphone and I shouted at him through the megaphone. Did any police show up? No, the police didn't show up. But you know what happened? That boy got back inside his taxi and kept going. It took longer than it should have, considering that he was attempting to harm me because I stopped at a stop sign. I'm just terribly, terribly, terribly wrong here. And we've reached the point where making noise is not going to help. The problem was visible. People could see what was happening. Let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning, 52. How you do?
I'm right here. I'm sorry about your story, you know, and many others. You know, my oldest daughter in an apartment by herself. She's very young, and so she's like, you know, early 20s. And so she lives in a cul-de-sac, and I go by her now and then. And so there's a bush And then there's a subdivision, but it's like scarier. And then, but I never advise that it be there by yourself, right? But
mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, in case somebody is watching you, it's really scary, right? Because maybe there should be a law put in place, like, you know, because when somebody bodies the children, you become drunken with hate or whatever, or revenge. I can't see somebody getting the death penalty for killing someone who harms a family member. Like, I saw, we have become desensitized. All the story for me is the fact that we don't have the right to defend ourselves. So hats off to the gentleman that intervened. But for me, I mean, it could have escalated because, I mean, let's say this should go on record because suppose the guy, I see him subsequently, and he kills the guy in some kind of knife fight or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is we don't have a right to defend ourselves. So I would have been very reluctant. I would have rather a collective effort, you know, mm-hmm. to get into that. But what I'm saying is I've seen it on the bus over and over where people just sit idly by, but we don't have the right to defend ourselves, Aaron. That's what is scary.
Mm-hmm.
You have to stand on your ground. Nothing works in the Bahamas. You can't even get a bulletproof vest. So I don't know. The young gentleman, he should just watch it because you never know. See, people being killed for anything, then it's scary. You understand what I'm saying, Aaron?
Absolutely.
But
no,
you have
absolutely.
A right to defend yourself, and you don't even have a right to have a bulletproof vest. I don't know where we are. But it's a mindless conundrum and very dumb laws we have here in this country. Very outdated.
Mm-hmm.
We still love Master too much. Give thanks. Yeah.
Blessings 52. Oh, boy. Mr. Newry, get back to the text line. Ms. Green, where could I buy that megaphone? I had to buy it off of Amazon. Like, I had to go abroad to get one I could afford. But see, here's my thing. I don't hear it in the newspaper, right? But I want to say this, like, responsibly. Is it time that we change the laws about who can and cannot carry pepper spray?
Mm.
Who can and cannot have a taser? Is it time that we talk about that? Because I had to defend myself from an attack about 3 years ago, Mr. Newry, from somebody known to me in the community. And the only thing I could say is that I know the person is on control. Right? And once I identified that, I began leaving the area. I was like, oh, did nobody see what I could see? And when I started leaving the area, the person attacked me. And thank God for the pepper spray I had on me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it anymore, Royal Bahamas Police Force, because I had to empty it on him. I don't possess it anymore, because possession is the problem, right? I don't possess it anymore. But I'm just saying to women out there, maybe it's worth risking a charge carrying pepper spray to protect yourself. I tell you what it's definitely worth. It's worth spending the money to take self-defense classes.
Yes.
Right? It's worth taking time to think about what spatial awareness means, how important it is to be aware of what's happening around you at all times, especially when now we know that we cannot rely on the collective to protect us if we need them.
And this is why I always appreciate you. You know, you always conclude with solutions. And I like the phrase that we cannot rely on the collective to protect us. And this might be a general warning to all behemoths. This is not just for women,
mm-hmm.
and the vulnerable about amongst us, children. Right? Women can no longer depend on men, Bahamian men, to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's clear that women cannot even depend on themselves, when I say themselves, and other women,
mm-hmm.
to protect them.
And
they don't come together in mass to say, no, you won't do this to us. I feel whatever pain you're going through, and I will come
mm-hmm.
and join the fight.
Mm-hmm.
Other women, they don't want their man, they don't want themselves to get involved. They're willing to risk other people, willing to risk themselves to be watched and fall,
mm-hmm.
right? I come from a world where I always would expect someone to help me if I find myself
mm-hmm.
lost, right? If I remember the incident when I was younger, 1992, 1991, during those gang areas, and I was walking home from the tattoo. Right? Young boy, maybe about 13, 14, and some people tried to rob me.
Mm-hmm.
Drop bricks. I mean, we could have blocks, cement blocks,
yeah.
whatever it is. It's a violent, vicious attack. And there are people on West Street who came out and said, no, leave this boy.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't physically get involved, but they came out and said, stop.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I was grateful. I said, I'm grateful that someone saw it and said, stop. We can become a society where people will watch and record and would not even just say stop.
Mm-hmm.
That's concerning.
Or drive your car on the sidewalk as close to the scene as possible.
And say stop.
Yeah.
Make movement. I prepare mm-hmm. to get involved if you do not stop. And that did not happen. What does that say about your children walking home from school? You shouldn't, if you're not prepared to stop, you shouldn't have your children walk home at all.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't have your children go to junk room. If you're not prepared to stop, you shouldn't have your children.
Because inherent in letting your children walk home is the understanding that there's a social contract that nobody allows children to be molested or leave them unprotected in a time of danger. So if you ain't gonna stop, then understand that you putting your children out into a world where you don't expect people to stop to protect them either. Let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Mr. Neri. How y'all doing?
Good. How you do?
Thank God for life. Season's greetings. Your giveaway is supposed to start tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay. I hope things work out good. And thank God for y'all.
We hoping they work out good, too. Trust me. We all hoping.
I think Dr. Fox, you said, you know, Dr. Fox Foundation, they're doing some good deed, too. I think it must be over by 11. But you... Tell me something. After someone saying stop, right? Not using a camera, or even using their camera and saying stop, right? Do you agree, or do you think it's not right to get involved? Like even if it's a woman, a child, or whatever, young person, like how you was young, they ain't stopping. They still hurting, or they still proceeding in whatever they doing. Do you think it's okay for that person to get, who's saying stop, to get involved, to try to stop them, maybe pick up something, hit them, or use their hand and hit them, and maybe if they drop down dead or whatever, right, because you're trying to defend that person who was getting taken advantage, do you think the court should, it shouldn't go as far as the courts, and we should have an understanding in situations like these when we go to try to help someone, or so in a case like with the woman yesterday or whenever it happened, right, if that person had gone there and maybe... Like what happened in the United States? Strangle him or put him in a headlock, not knowing how he can carry on if you let him go, and the police taking long to come. And he dropped down there. In situations like that, do you think we need to have an understanding that that person was trying to defend someone and not give them no jail time?
Remember the little girl who was raped strangled viciously on the side of the road?
Yes.
And I know you have your own challenges, right?
Yes.
Now, imagine you were... a passerby, and you heard that girl shriek. No, and you knew what was happening. Would you stop?
You mean as a blind person?
As a blind person.
Yes, buddy. Listen to me. Hold
would
on.
You risk your life as a blind person? You know that woman, that little girl shrieked.
Right? It's a possibility. I could end up risking my life, right? But I wouldn't be thinking about that right then, boy. And you say a 12-year-old. You mean? And why did the police sound like they why does it take so long for them to get this DNA test and stuff? Why we ain't have a place over here we could do it? I mean, in the United States right there, why that person's no one being charged yet? And do they have the right person? Is it possible the person still could be out here who do that?
Anything
you
possible.
Say if I would
absolutely.
Stop and try. Yes,
proper,
man.
Proper.
Yes, man.
Thank you
not
very
just,
much.
Not just because, for many different reasons, I'll stop, brother. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Papa. Mr. Neri, I wanted to tell a story. I'm not sure if you...
I have no guess. Go ahead.
Would let me tell my story on your next hour. Text us. We're going to continue this conversation into the next hour. I will read all of your texts. Mr. Neri, sometimes it's a problem being hasty, you know. When I was a young girl in summer camp in Eleuthera, one year we all came, all the campers came over on the mail boat, right? So all the counselors, we had to go out to the dock in Governor's Harbor to meet the campers, bring them to the campsite. And while we were on the dock waiting for the campers to get off the boat and all the luggage to get off the boat, I heard this commotion. Mind you, I had like 15, you know, like 14 or 15, something like that. I hear this commotion, maybe even 16 to the side of me. And then I realized that this man was slapping down this woman. I mean, he was bruising her right up. And I'd be honest with you, I don't know what I thought. I don't know what I thought. I don't know what I was thinking. It wasn't common sense, because I found myself having picked up a piece over there and stood between the boy and the girl. Now, of course, what saved me is that I sure that boy realized that this was the Methodist. We had on our T-shirts. This is the Methodist summer camp, right? His friend, it turns out it was his brother, I think, realized what was happening. And when I stepped in with a piece of wood and started shouting at him like a maniac, saying crazy things, hey, Steve's and Hannah's to say, it's like, oh, we hitting people? Well, why you don't try hit me next? Saying foolishness like that. The brother, I sure the brother also stepped in, realizing that you, my brother, was trying to kill a woman in front of an entire camp, Methodist campers and adults, the whole boat, everybody who come on the boat and everybody who come to pick them up, you getting ready to kill a woman in front of all of these people. That's what really moderated the situation, right? Like, I was just one foolish pebble throw myself, but it was all the other things happening around, I think, that caused reason to settle in. But for me, I just don't understand the people who don't reflexively and impulsively do something.
And the key word is do something.
Absolutely. This has been On the Clock with Erin Green. Thank you for all the calls and texts. The conversation is not over. I'll have an opportunity to read all of these texts in the next hour. I want you to play the next one.
You bring it on my side.
All right, I can find it and send it to you. Ooh, do we have a treat for y'all in the next hour? This has been On the Clock as we remember John Berkeley Peanuts Taylor, drum cultural virtuoso. The man, the myth, the legend. Y'all stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.